How are we doing, like, for real? Because it's been a rough week, you guys. Yeah? I love how responsive our hearts are when God causes us to pause. When we're all trying so hard and stuff's not working and the Holy Spirit just says, stop. Stop what you're doing and just acknowledge who I am. And the whole atmosphere in the room shifted. Did you catch it? Online family, I don't know if you caught it. I hope the atmosphere shifted where you were, if it was in a place of trying and became just a place of worship. So, but it is days like today. It is weeks like this week. It is years like this last year and a half or so that require us to lean into our faith. The reasons that we look to the heroes of the faith, the reasons that we look to become the heroes of the faith, the next generations of the ancients who were commended. Because in days like today, in eras like this era, we need a relentless faith. And that's what we're going to talk about today as we look at the life of Joshua, because Joshua demonstrated throughout his life this relentless faith that persevered. Now, a lot of us think of Joshua as just Moses' predecessor. If you've been in the church, then Joshua was, most of you know that Joshua is the guy who came after Moses. But if we want to have a true picture of the kind of faith that Joshua demonstrated that we want to learn from, we got to dial it back a few, four, five decades, right? We have to dial it back to Moses and Israel coming into the promised land for the first time, coming up to the promised land. Moses leading the people out of Egypt, God parting the seas for them and bringing them to the edge of the promised land. And Moses sends in 12 spies to just get the lay of the land to look and see, because God has said it's going to be their land. And in the midst of that, 10 of the spies come back and they just don't even listen to what God said. They're like, oh, there's giants. It's too much. It's too big. You ever feel like life's too big sometimes? Like the battle's too much? Like, seriously? But the two young ones, Joshua and Caleb, they were like, oh, we got it. They're big, but God's bigger. We got this. Like, we got this. I wasn't in church when my youngest was born, and I named him Caleb, but he's got the whole attitude, so I just consider it a prophetic word. The Holy Spirit went ahead of me, told me what to name that child when I didn't even know it. But it was just this attitude of God said it, so we got it. But the 10 naysayers overwhelmed the two. And the result was that Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years. All the people who said we can't do what God said we can do died in the desert. Fed from heaven, led around, provided for in the midst of their wanderings, their sandals never wore out. So cool, because if you've ever walked around the sand, your shoes wear out really fast, 40 years. And we get to this place where now Moses has died, because Moses wasn't allowed to actually enter the promised land, just to view it from afar. And it's Joshua's turn to step up. Now, he may have been the kid who said, we can slay those giants because God said. But now he's the adult, he's the grown-up who has to try to fill the shoes of Moses. Moses the liberator. Moses the Red Sea parter. Moses the provider. Moses the lawgiver. Moses the dude that hung out with God on the mountaintop. Fill those shoes. You ever had a task in front of you? Followed someone that was so good at what they did? Even if they're a mentor, maybe they're not even in your job. They're just a mentor and you think, I could never be them. I can never do that. We got to understand that that's what Joshua is facing. And oh, by the way, he has this nation of people that he's now supposed to lead. So before I have you read with me, I just want to set the stage a little bit more. We're in Joshua 1 right now. For our online family, we're going to be in Joshua 1, 7 and 8 today. So just to let you know. But I want to read you Joshua 1, verses 1 to 5. It says, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, the aide, right? Who are my military folks in the room? Like, you know, the general's aide, right? Like the kid who carries the bags. God said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, to all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Y'all, those are some big words, right? Those are some big orders. Like, I'm thinking I'm getting overwhelmed when God says plant a church in a pandemic. Did you just hear what he told him to do? Like, those are some big orders. Those are some big words. Those are some big shoes for Joshua to fill in Moses' sandals. But they're not based on who Joshua is. I don't know if you caught that. They're based on the fact that God is. They're based on the fact that God is with them. God is for them. And God will never leave them or forsake them. And God is not fulfilling the promises that Joshua made. God is fulfilling the promises God made. And that's where we got to see, are we chasing our own thing or are we chasing what God has promised us? And yet I can only imagine how overwhelming Joshua must have felt. And how overwhelmed I feel sometimes. Like, was he losing heart? Was he feeling the job was too big to accomplish? Was he thinking, even Moses messed up? Like, Moses didn't even get this right, and you want me to get this right. But God says, no, Joshua, I am with you. And Joshua dug down into that relentless faith that he demonstrated 40 years before, the faith we're going to learn from. Now, today I'm actually going to give you the points on the front end, and we're going to unpack them a little bit after, because I want us to see the demonstration of what I'm saying as we unfold what God has laid out before us. So the first thing I want to lead us with is that a relentless faith overcomes fear. Nobody deals with fear in here, right? Like, no fear, no, yeah, no. A relentless faith overcomes fear. Would you guys, we're going to pick up where I left off reading in Joshua chapter 1. I want you to read verses 6 to 9 with me, please. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Notice a theme? Be strong and courageous. I think sometimes when we read this passage, if we've read it before, we get so caught up on the be strong and courageous, we miss the qualifiers that come with it. God said, be strong and courageous because. Be strong and courageous because I will lead you. I will lead the people. Don't be strong and courageous because you're all of that. Be strong and courageous because you're going to lead the people into what I've promised them to do. God's going to lead Joshua. Joshua was going to lead the people according to God. Be strong and very courageous was the second command. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful. Be careful to obey and not to turn. Be careful to obey and not to turn to the right or to the left, but stay focused on what I'm telling you to do. O nation of America, be careful not to be led by the right or led by the left, but be careful to be led by God. It's just there. Be strong and courageous a third time. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. See, not only does God say to be strong and brave and bold, but there's a whole word in this, do not be discouraged. Do not be shattered by your fear. Do not let your courage be taken from you. You see, to be discouraged means that you let your courage be taken from you, or you take your courage and you give it away. And God says, do not be discouraged. Do not, people of God, standing in the gap, standing in these times, standing against everything that there is, standing for God, do not quit on your courageous. Somebody else need to hear that besides me, because I was sitting in the ER for 5 hours Friday thinking, God? And he had me studying, do not quit on your courageous. Do not, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of the slogging it out, in the midst of, man, we got to wear masks again. Do not quit on your courageous. Look, folks, there are business owners all over this county been struggling to stay open for the last year and a half. Do not quit on your courageous because we got to follow a rule for a little while. Okay, that's a little, I'm just going to leave that there. Do not get overwhelmed again by this pandemic and quit on your courageous. Do not get overwhelmed, military that have been given it all for 20 years. Do not quit on your courageous. Do not give it up. Do not give it away, because at the end of the day, God is on the throne. God is ruling the universe, and what seems like unthinkable and like we can't get to the other side, God will get us to the other side when we walk with him. And God again says all of these things, not because you are all of that, but because I, God, am with you wherever you go. You know something about strong and courageous? Something about relentless faith? Relentless faith rubs off on the people around you. Like, that is something we see here. Joshua, we like to think Joshua, this all starts in Joshua 1. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. But this was layered into Joshua from the beginning by Moses. You can turn back a few chapters in Deuteronomy, and all throughout their relationship, but towards the end of Moses' life, it's Moses who's telling Joshua, be strong and courageous, for God is with you wherever he goes. Wherever you go, he goes. Like, we live in community for a reason, right? Moses is telling Joshua, be strong and courageous. Then Joshua is sitting there trying to figure it out, and God says, be strong and courageous. He gets a word from God. So Joshua goes on and goes out to all the people as they're about to cross into the promised land. Again, take off your Sunday school glasses and be in the reality. They've been wandering for 40 years. Their parents and their grandparents have died out of disobedience to God, because they gave away their courage. They quit on their courageous 40 years before, and they're getting ready to step across these waters. And so Joshua tells them what God says. You got to be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, because God is with us. We got to lift each other up. You know what I love? At the end of chapter 1, the people are telling their leader, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Like, he's rallied them all. We're going to go time tomorrow, you know. And they're like, Joshua, be strong and courageous. In this community, there are going to be days I remind you all to be strong and courageous, and there are going to be days you remind me, hey, pastor, don't quit on your courageous. We do that for each other. Because a relentless faith overcomes fear. And this is where we'd like to think, all right, once we're strong and courageous, we got it. It's good. They're going to walk it out. They're going to march it out. It's going to be good. There's not going to be any hiccups. There's not going to be any problems. Once we surrender to God and go, it's easy. No. Because a relentless faith is tested throughout your life in the trials and the fires. It's refined. Leaders, whether you are leading your family, whether you are leading your team, whether you are leading your corporation, your relentless faith will be tested in the trials of life. They will be refined not by skirting the fire, but by going through the fire. And so the second thing I want us to learn as we look at Joshua, as we look at the nation of Israel, and they are now crossed the River Jordan as we fast forward a few chapters. They have crossed the River Jordan, and the first city they come to is the city of Jericho. And it's the biggest, baddest, meanest, evilest, most fortified city there is, completely surrounded by these massive walls. Jericho is the big dog of the evil dogs, okay? Like, that's how that works. And what we're going to learn as we look at how Joshua handles that is that a relentless faith walks God's way, even when it seems silly. Because God can tell us to do some things sometimes. Y'all are like, what? What do you mean when it seems silly? What you talking about? Okay, well, let's focus right now on a relentless faith walks God's way. Because that sounds pretty strong and courageous, right? Like, walk it out God's way. That's got to be Braveheart stuff there. That's got to be hero-making stuff there. So let's get a good picture. We're going to be in Joshua 6, verses 1 and 2. Would you read it with me? Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men. Okay, so the nation of Israel is outside the fortified city. The fortified city is bolted up tight. Israel's on the outside. And God says, see, I already delivered you. Do you see the king at Joshua's feet? Do you see, Jeremiah, do you see the warriors at Joshua's feet, like, surrendering their swords? No. But God says, I have delivered you. See, God gives us promises sometimes, and we haven't seen them yet. That's the walking by faith and not by sight. But God then calls us to walk it out his way, which is where the what seems silly comes in. Let me just tell you what God tells them to do. Let me flip over here to chapter 6. It says, then the Lord said to Joshua, okay, he said, see, I've delivered you. And he gives him the instructions on how he's delivered him. March around the city. Now, fortified city. We're picturing a battle scene, right? Yeah? March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days, okay? Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing trumpets. When you hear the sound of a long blast of the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, and then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone, straight in. Israel has waited 40 years to take the promised land. They've come over and they are facing the most fortified city in the promised land with the biggest, baddest warriors in the promised land. And God says, I'm delivering, I have delivered them to you. And he says, gather all your warriors and put the trumpets out front with the priests. And march around. Don't do anything. March around. March around those fortified walls that can pour boiling oil on you, that can shoot fiery arrows at you, that can catapult boulders at you. Just take your trumpets. Take your musicians. March around. By the way, go tell the people to do that. How'd you like to be Joshua right about now? I'd be like, you know, God, I think it would be much better coming from you. How about I'll give you the mic? How about that? I'll give you the mic, God. You can tell. No, Joshua's got to tell them. And in the midst of that, Joshua's got to be thinking, we are going to be the laughing stock. Like, even if God delivers us, what are they going to think of us? But you see, a relentless faith stays the course. So read this with me. Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it. We had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. All right, you guys saw, we skipped the verses in the middle, but Joshua just repeats everything God says, and they do it, and they walk around the city, and they go back to camp and spend the night. Like, how anticlimactic is that? Like, were you expecting something to happen? Like, if I'm the nation of Israel, if I'm marching around, I'm thinking, okay, they think we're crazy, a little boulder's going to fall. Maybe one of the guys up in one of the watchtowers is just going to accidentally tumble out and fall on his head. Like we're going to do this once, and there's going to be something, right? Like, God's going to move somehow, right? But nothing that they can see, nothing happens. If you go down to verse 14, it says, so on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to camp, and they did that for 6 days. How are they feeling on day 3? How are you feeling on day 4? How are we feeling on month 6 of COVID? How are we feeling in year 6 or year 4 or year 2 of a conflict? How are we feeling in the midst of trying to figure it all out? And we're not seeing any progress. What happens if we quit? What happens if we quit on our courageous on the last day before the deliverance is visible? You guys, God gives us a promise and we have to be obedient to chase it. And this kind of faith, this kind of heroic faith, stays in the midst of it, perseveres and continues even when we don't see the progress. Now, the cool part is they didn't quit on their courageous. The cool part is that they get to day 7 and they march around the city. Now again, they're marching day 7. Here it is. I'm waiting for some rocks to start falling my second time around the city or my third time around the city or certainly my sixth time around the city. Maybe on the 7th time around, something's going to start to tremble and tremble and rumble. But they get all the way around the 7th time, blow the trumpets, and everything happens just like God said it would. Verse 27 says, so the Lord was with Joshua, and their fame spread. You see, Jericho was just the first of many cities. This was just one of many tests of Joshua's relentless faith, of one of many refining fires, and we will have more than one. But the word is getting out, and that's a good thing, right? I mean, are you feeling better about this now, this relentless faith deal? Are we feeling a little better? You guys out there, are you awake? Like, 7th time happened, walls fell, everything is delivered. God gave some really specific instructions, by the way, about what would happen with everything in Jericho. I'll just put that out there. And remember I said that a relentless faith is tried and tested in the fires of life. Like it doesn't just happen and everything is good. Another lesson that we learn from Joshua is that a relentless faith still makes mistakes. A relentless faith is not... Let's go back to Pastor Nick. We are flawed and faithful. Not even flawed, but faithful. Flawed and faithful. That's who we are as human beings. And a relentless faith still makes mistakes. If we go into chapter 7, it leads out, but the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. You see, in conquering Jericho, one group, one family, one person did something they weren't supposed to do. Remember when God said, don't stray to the right or to the left? Obey my word. Stay the course. It goes on to say, let me see here. Hold on. I think I might have you guys read this with me. Do we have verse 2 up there? Now Joshua sent men from Jericho. Okay, well then I'm going to read this to you. How about that? It says, now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all of the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary the whole army. Only a few people live there. Who is Joshua listening to now? Who's giving this instruction on how to take Ai? The people? Okay, just checking. So it goes on to say about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear. You see, Joshua forgot to consult God. If Joshua had consulted God, Joshua might have known that something was amiss, something needed to be dealt with before he could proceed. And he didn't suddenly continue to do things God's way. He did things the way that his advisors told him to do them. And the result of that was that they got skunked. And this group of people who wandered the desert for 40 years just had this huge victory, but they didn't fight that victory. God fought it. They blew the trumpets, and everything happened. And so they try to fight it on their own, and what should be easy suddenly is overwhelming, and they get chased out, and Joshua doesn't know what to do. Like Joshua, for the next 6 verses, Joshua is like on his face, crying out to God, trying to figure it out. He's pleading, he's tearing his clothes, the priest, he's in front of the ark. He's like, God, and then he starts to talk to God. God, why'd you bring us over here? Does that sound at all familiar? How many times you get into trouble, and instead of saying, ooh, what did I do to mess up? You go, God, what'd you do this to me for? I guess it's only me that does. Sometimes I've been known to get out ahead of God and then be like, why isn't this working? God, why'd you do this to me? And he's like, you want to back up? You want to rewind a little bit? And that's where Joshua is with God. And he even gets to this point where Joshua's talking to God and he's crying out to God and he turns it on God. He's like, everybody's going to hear about this. And then what about your great name, God? Forget us and that we're scared to death. What about you? You're not going to get the credit anymore. Do you know that tough love is not a new thing? Do you know that parental tough love has got some history to it? Like, y'all think I'm crazy. I tell you what, how about you just read this with me? Because this is God's response. The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. Okay, pause right there. We're reading that. Let me insert a parent voice. Stand up and get off your face. What is your problem? Why are you crying down there? The problem isn't down there. The problem is that there is sin in your camp and you don't know it and you need to go deal with it. Pastor Jen translation, but I think it's pretty accurate. Okay, so let's see. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. They have made themselves liable to destruction. How many times have we clung to something that we think is some great possession? And it is the very thing. Can you back up to the end of that verse for me, Shelley, please? It is the very thing that is devoted to our destruction. We think the thing that we've been chasing is this prize, and we've got it hidden under our tent, and we're thinking that it has got our value and our worth and our everything, and it is the thing that is devoted to our destruction. And then we blame God when he wants us to get rid of it because we think he's trying to kill our fun, and he's not. He's trying to kill the thing that's killing us. Trying to kill the thing that's killing us so he can put life. So he can put life in its place. This is not in my notes. But what in your life is devoted to your destruction? And in my pride, I'm hanging on to it. In my foolishness, I'm thinking I got a hold of it. I got a handle on it. Because God isn't trying to get you to let it go to punish you. God is telling you to let it go because it's destroying you and he wants you to live. We good, church? We good, family? That's a tough word. But it's a good word because it's a life-giving word. It's a life-giving word. Back to notes, right? Like back to the Joshua got discouraged because he didn't pay attention to what was really going on. He got caught up in what he saw around him and in not seeking God missed what was really happening. And we can get off course like that. We can get off course and not realize it and keep trying to charge and things aren't working and we have to stop and we have to realize. But we also have to repent when we figure out what's going on because we can't be disobedient and expect to walk in the promise. Like God's promises are steady. They don't go away. They are forever. God makes you a promise. It is yours. But you don't get to walk in a lot of those promises. A lot of those promises are if-then statements. God's love is never an if-then statement. The offer of salvation, other than accepting it, is never an if-then statement. Like, you don't have to earn salvation, right? You just need to receive it. Not if, however, walking in the promise of abundant life, walking in victory, walking in the things that you were called to do, write my word on your heart. Do not stray from it to the right or the left. So that, be careful to keep my word. So that, God said, be careful to obey me. So that you can prosper. You can have joy. You can have life. And so we have to stop trying to be disobedient over here and thinking it's okay and think we're going to walk in victory over here. Leaders. So, okay, let me back up a little bit. Joshua repents. Joshua repents before God. God gives Joshua a lot of instructions on how to fix the problem, and Joshua's got to make some tough leadership things happen. He's got to call it out. He's got to gather people. There's punishment because because the people who committed the sin wouldn't repent. There's severe consequence, right? Joshua's got to walk that out as a leader. The further you go in leadership, the easier it will be to blame your problems on someone else and not take responsibility. The greater the temptation will be to blame someone else and not take responsibility. Look, God could have called the individual who sinned out. God could have called the problem out without Joshua, but he put Joshua in leadership, and Joshua needed to deal with it appropriately. And Joshua could not abdicate responsibility for his failure to go to God. Joshua had to own that. And I just want to encourage us as leaders, our relentless faith requires us owning those things. And when we make our mistake, we need to repent and recenter. I wanted to say that we needed to repent and recalculate because, you know, your GPS tells you to do that recalculating thing. Like back in the days of Garmin, before we all had everything on our Google or Waze or whatever, like you'd have your little GPS, your Garmin, and it would go, recalculating. Anybody ever been lost in DC traffic while your Garmin is recalculating and recalculating and recalculating? We don't need to recalculate because that's us trying to figure out how to get out of our lost. We need to repent and recenter on God who will lead us out. Because it's not about us figuring it out. It's about us centering on God and what he's telling us to do. So we need to repent and recenter, and then God will lead us. And he led them, and they conquered Ai, and it was all great. Our final lesson today is that a relentless faith stays true. It stays true to the mission. I'm going to read for us because we've had a couple good moments in the Word, and so I'm going to catch us up a little bit. The Lord, in chapter 8, the Lord said to Joshua, "Don't be afraid or discouraged." Sound familiar? Don't be discouraged. "Take the whole army with you and go attack Ai, for I have delivered you into the hands of the king of Ai. I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except that you get to keep some of the plunder this time," he said. So he's telling him, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. That should ring true at this point. Like, I feel like that should be our go-to this week when we talk to each other, like maybe for the next couple months. Let's lead with, don't be afraid or discouraged. We got this. Oh, we're having coffee. Cool. Don't be afraid or discouraged. It's still okay. Let's lead with that line. But what is God asking you to step out and do right now? Like, it's not all cute. What's God asking you to step out and do? Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged because God is with you. Plant a church, buy a house, move, start a new business, go back to work, send your kids back to school. I don't know what it is. Start a new job. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged because this moment's going to come and God's going to be with you. And what we see from Joshua is that the moments keep coming. And what we see in our life is that the moments keep coming. They do defeat Ai. Everything happens according to the plan. Everything is good. The whole lands are terrified. At this point, Joshua is not a young man. He was a grown man when he was one of the spies that went in 40 years ago. Now they've conquered Jericho, which was a big deal. They've been defeated by Ai, now conquered Ai. But that isn't where it ends. God had told them he would go into all the lands, from the Hittite country to the sea, from the north to the south and the east to the west. You see, we have never arrived. A relentless faith doesn't get one big victory and then coast the rest of our life. That doesn't make heroes of the faith. That doesn't encourage others. That's a one-hit wonder, and that's not what God called us to be. See, a relentless faith continues to persevere. A relentless faith stays true to the plan, to the mission. Jericho falls, Ai falls, and there is a whole lot more in front of Joshua and all the people. Now, in his relentless faith, Joshua conquers with God 31 kings. 31 more lands that God has promised to give the people. Joshua, in faith and obedience, steps forward and God delivers. God delivers on his promises. But that's because Joshua continued to walk in a relentless faith. And so as we look at that faith today, I have to ask us what we're going to take away from that. What will we do and what will we trust God for in the promises he's made to us? Will we overcome fears with the strength of the Lord, or will we just try to pep talk ourselves? Like, will we think we can do it because we think we can do it, or will we know we can do it because God is with us? Will we be obedient to march around the walls of our Jerichos when God's way seems silly? Let me be a little more specific about that. Will we march around cities of bitterness with trumpets of joy? Because that seems silly, because the world says get revenge. Will we march around fortified cities of hatred and fear with trumpets of love and compassion? Oh, when we aren't seeing eye to eye with our spouse, will we march around our marriage with revenge or what I deserve, or with anger and retaliation? Or will we march around our marriage with trumpets of humility and forgiveness and grace and love? Will we march around a city of pride in ourselves and our own accomplishments with the trumpets of humility? Will we march around the cities of lustfulness and worldliness with trumpets of purity? Will we march around cities of poverty and debt with the silly little trumpets of discipline and generosity? Because how can you give away and be wealthy? That doesn't even make sense. And will we have faith in God's progress even when we can't see it on days 5 and 6 and 7 on the 1st and 2nd and 6th laps while we're waiting for God to deliver? And the battles keep coming even after a setback. Will we repent and recenter when we make a mistake? And will we stay true to the fight? When the world feels heavy, like it has this last 2 weeks, will we just check out and coast? Or will we continue to be out there, to love, to say, I don't know. I can't see God in the midst of this. I don't. Like, don't make it up. Like, I don't see God in the midst of what's happening right now, but I know God is working. And I'm going to hold on to my faith. And I'm going to blow my trumpet. And I'm going to trust him for the victory. It's our choice. Would you pray with us?
Heavenly Father, there's just so much to learn in the story of Joshua. In a world that is so divided and so separated and so at odds with one another, sometimes your way does seem silly to us. But God, we come to you humbly and honestly. We want to follow your leading. We want to follow your will. And sometimes we just don't know how. But I'm so grateful that your word gives us those instructions. I was reading in 1 Corinthians, and it talks about taking off what is mortal and putting on what is immortal. Taking off the old, putting off the old man and putting on the new of who we are in Christ. Because in that, with the Holy Spirit inside of us, that's the only way we can navigate these difficulties, God. And we invite you to lead us, Lord. We set aside our pride. Maybe it's just me. I set aside my pride. I set aside my ability, my capability, all of the things that I think I can do for your way. God, we thank you that you give us a way where there was no way, where our ability fails, where our capability is not enough, where our strength, our perseverance, our everything falls short. You've empowered us with your Holy Spirit living inside of us, that we are complete, that your plan is made perfect in our weakness by the blood of Jesus. And so we lift this worship, lift this time, lift our hearts to you. We get up off of the floor and we stand up before you, God, and we say, yes, Lord, in Jesus' name.